Last week we began a series on discipleship, and we are calling it Following Jesus, the Heart of a Disciple. Following Jesus. When we talk about that, it's just not like just following someone down a path, but what does that mean as you look at your heart, evaluating your heart in light of Jesus' call to follow him? And we want to make sure that we're understanding discipleship in the context of the church, and specifically the local church, as we have it here at FBC. And we know that Jesus commissioned the church to go and make disciples. And we need to understand that in the context of FBC and what we need to be doing as we make disciples in and through our ministry. It's not just an individual calling, though we are individuals in the context of the church. And we want to understand this in light of being the church here at FBC. We want to make sure that our discipleship is authentic. This isn't a show. We sing and praise God from our hearts. We look at God's word from our hearts, and we seek to apply his word to our hearts and our lives as we live it out. We like to look at our ministry more like a hospital than a country club, right? People come and they're hurting and they need encouragement and they strength. And so we disciple them to find that encouragement and strength in and through the power of Jesus. And then as they're healed, they turn around and they disciple someone else. They bring them along and encourage them to be healed and strengthened in the power of the Lord. As we think of all of this, by way of illustration, at the beginning of a wedding, a pastor usually leads a couple in what's called marital intentions. He asks, are these your intentions? And this is before the vows. You know, you're getting ready to make some vows, but are you willing to express your intentions before God and these assembled witnesses? And they go something like this. Joe, will you take Sally to be your wedded wife? To live together according to God's holy ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her through whatever may come, and forsaking all others, keep yourself only unto her so long as you both shall live? And Joe is to say, I do, or I will. But what if those intentions went something like this? Joe, will you take Sally to be your roommate, to date her for years because you're afraid to make a commitment? Will you love her as long as she loves you the way you expect, to comfort her only when you feel like it, to honor and keep her through whatever may come so long as it doesn't inconvenience you too much, and forsaking all others unless somebody else really catches your eye, and keep yourself only unto her unless things get really bad or until you get really bored with each other? What do you think? Not much of a commitment, is it? No, when you find someone and you're talking about marriage, you're looking for someone with whom you will commit to spend the rest of your life. You're making a commitment of total change of life and relationship, forsaking all others so long as you both shall live. That's your intentions as you head into a marriage. So, in the same way, we're talking about discipleship. When you trust Jesus as Savior, you repent of your sinfulness. I'm living my own life and living in my own way, and I realize, no, I need to turn away from that, and I need to come to salvation through Jesus Christ. He is the way of salvation. He's the one who sacrificed on my behalf. And so I turn away from my life and living my way, forsaking all others. I come to him and commit to him for my life. Jesus, in the scriptures, gives us some insight into what this means. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, we're looking at verses 57 through 62 this morning. We're going to look at some other passages as well, but But this helps us launch into, last week we talked about the parable of the soils, the different kind of soils that receive the word. So here we're receiving the word here today, and it's you would do well to listen carefully to what God says through his word here. Luke 9, verse 57 says, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will, talking to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. To another, he said, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And yet another, I will follow you, Lord. But let me first say farewell to those at my home. Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now this text, Luke chapter 9, verses 15 to 57 and following, is in the context of the whole chapter. And as you look at the whole chapter of Luke chapter 9, he is sending, he initially sends out his disciples to proclaim the kingdom. And then he feeds the 5,000. And then Peter confesses Jesus is Christ, and Jesus foretells his death and resurrection. And he appeals to the disciples to take up their cross and follow him. He is transfigured before Peter, James, and John. He heals a boy. He explains who is the greatest, and then he rebukes James and John for wanting fire from heaven to come down and destroy a Samaritan village because they had rejected Jesus. And as I looked at all of that, I realized, you know what? Jesus was involved in the lives of people. He was involved in people's lives. A lot was taking place. And as he was going through all of these things and doing all of these things, it dawned on me, you know, people were probably enamored by Jesus. Man, this is a, he's a cool dude, man. I'll vote for him, right? You know, he's awesome. And I think he's great. I want to jump on that bandwagon before it's gone, you know. I think that's the context in which these things are said here. And my question is, what does it take to follow Jesus? So here's your take-home thought today, and that is, following Jesus requires sacrifice. Following Jesus requires sacrifice. The question becomes, are you willing to give up what holds you back? Are you willing to make the sacrifice? So we want to look at three occasions of sacrifice to consider. Verse 57. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. First occasion of sacrifice to consider is comforts. Are you willing to sacrifice your comforts, the comforts of home, so to speak? And Jesus is asking if you're willing to give up your creature comforts in order to follow him. I think that's important for those who are considering following Jesus to think about. Now, you look at the sincerity of this someone in verse 57. Who is this someone? He's very sincere. You know, I'll follow you wherever you go. Man, that's quite a statement, right? Who is this guy? Well, if you look at a parallel passage in Matthew chapter 8, it's the same individuals here. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19, he's described as a scribe, which indicates that he was a teacher of the law. This is someone who knew what the scriptures said and taught the scriptures. And he's saying, man, this Jesus, he's something else. I mean, he knows what he's talking about when it comes to the word of God. I want to get with him. I'll follow you wherever you go. Now, Jesus responds in essence and says, okay, here's the situation. You want to follow me? Listen. Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests. Animals have houses that I don't have. He says, the Son of Man, and that's a reference to himself. That is one of his most common references of himself. Indicates his humility. He didn't say, now listen, I want you to know I am the Son of God. Was that true? Yes. He was the Son of God. But his reference was in humility, saying, Son of Man. He was truly God, truly man. And it indicates his humility. He is the creator of the universe. And he could have come to this earth and he could have built the most awesome mansion you have ever seen and proclaimed the message of the gospel through that context, right? I mean, you know, you think about it, he created this world by speaking it into being out of nothing. He could have had the most awesome mansion ever conceived. But he says, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. As I go throughout my life here, I want you to know that if I don't have a place to stay, I just lay my head down and the rock is my pillow. This is it, man. or I have to borrow a bed. Jesus, the creator of the universe, had less creature comforts than the creatures. And the question is, are you willing to give up the comforts and security of home in order to be my disciple? We just sang about that, didn't we? To give all I have just to know you. Man, you sang that beautifully. And I sang it with you, not quite as beautifully as you did. But we sang that together. To give all I have, are you willing? We say those things, but Jesus here is asking you to really think about that. Are you willing to give up the comforts and security of home in order to be my disciples? Now, let me ask you this. Where was he heading? It says there in the text, as they were going along the road, where were they going? Look back at verse 51. You have that there before you. Look at verse 51. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. What was he looking ahead to in Jerusalem? To be despised and rejected. He knew, as he looked ahead, he knew that he was heading to Jerusalem to make the ultimate sacrifice. And so as we're talking about sacrifice here today, Jesus isn't asking you to do anything more than what he provided himself. To give of himself completely in the ultimate sacrifice of his life. You know, we make verbal commitments without understanding the cost. We sing without really thinking about to give all I have just to know you. It's like that stony soil we talked about last week. We get all excited, you know, this is great. I'm going to follow Jesus, you know, he's wonderful. And then when the difficulties come, we bail out. Because there's no depth. So when you look at this commitment, I had some thoughts on this. And this may mean if you are going to be willing to give up your comforts, to sacrifice your comforts. This may mean that you make financial sacrifices in order to follow Jesus. Giving faithfully, sacrificially to the Lord. And it's because of the faithful giving of God's people that we have the ministry that we have here at FBC. I had someone years ago ask me, so if I give 10%, do I give 10% of my gross or of my net? And I'm like, you know what? That's not the issue. That's the law, you know? That's just something we can use kind of as a guide, because grace is about generosity. And I just give out of the gratefulness of my heart, right? That's the way it ought to be. Are you willing to give hilariously. That's what 1 Corinthians 9 says. God loves a hilarious giver. Have you ever given like, yeah, this is great, man? You know, hey, think about that. Jesus gave it all. He paid it all. It may mean to make financial sacrifices in order to follow Jesus. You know, many of our missionaries have given up lucrative careers in order to serve the Lord. I can think of two of them right now that we support who, you know, they were making really good money. And they said, you know what, we want to serve Jesus. To give all they had to serve him. That may mean making financial sacrifices in order to follow Jesus. It may mean making some sacrifice to help support the likes of Natalie. Say, you know what? She's one of our own. We're planning through our discipleship and outreach. We're planning to do that. But some of you might say, you know what? That touched my heart. I'm gonna support her and to give faithfully to do that. It may mean to pass up attractive opportunities. I heard a message it's been years ago. A friend of mine was preaching over in Indiana, and I heard him preach, and he pointed out to his congregation, and Teresa and I were visiting, we were on vacation, and he pointed out to the congregation the dangers of promotion. Now, he's not saying, I'm not saying don't take a promotion at work. Okay? Don't hear what I'm not saying. Don't negate opportunities to advance in your field of skill and work. I'm not saying that. What he was saying, and I piggyback on that, is to consider that promotion in light of your priorities. Oftentimes, promotion means, yes, more money, but less time with the family and ministry. So be careful. It may mean saying, you know what? Man, that is an attractive opportunity for me. But you know what? I have other priorities that I need to consider. And the first priority is Jesus and living for him. It may mean giving up personal property. Jesus said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, many of our missionaries, again, and many, many missionaries even now give up the comforts of home to live in a hut, grass hut in Papua New Guinea. And they do that for years. Or we know of one missionary who has given up the comforts of home to live in a 600-square-foot tiny house, ship's cabin with three growing kids and a wife and three growing kids. For months, years at a time. We have other missionaries who gave up dream homes to go live in a tiny two-bedroom apartment in Ukraine or Ethiopia. We have these examples right in front of us. To give up, to be willing to give up personal property. Here's another matter. I don't have this projected here, but another thing to consider about giving up is how about personal preference? Are you willing to give up personal preferences in order to further the cause of Christ? And it, you know, that really touches the ministry even here. And let's give you an example. Just over a year ago, we had pews, right? And they had been here for years, and they needed some attention. And there were people here who said, I love pews. I just love the pews. And that's great. That's a preference. And as we looked at it and weighed things out, we said, you know what? We're gonna go with chairs. And it may have been your preferences to have pews, but I thank you for laying your preferences aside and you did that because I know that because you're still here sitting in chairs, right? But there are other things that we face in a ministry where it's like some people have this preference, others have another preference. But you know what? Let's not allow that to keep us from the furtherance of the gospel. To be willing to lay our preferences aside so that the gospel moves forward. And so as to know and experience the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace through the ministry of FBC. Might need to set your preferences aside on some of these things. Are you willing to do that? We like our comforts. I like my comforts. You know, how often do we complain when we get uncomfortable? Are you willing to sacrifice your comforts in order to follow Jesus? That's what he's asking. And we need to make sure that when we call someone to Jesus, that they understand that. Really, they have a full picture of this. I don't believe in an easy believism. I think it's essential and very important to do what Jesus did here. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to trust Jesus, you need to understand what you're getting into. That's what Jesus did. And what's involved in this. I on one occasion, I was sharing Jesus with a friend. I'd gotten to know this man, and we had a lot of the same interests. And I was like, man, this guy's cool. I really enjoy it. And I was talking in the hallway. I had been meeting with him. We were walking down the back hallway by my office. And he says, if I trust Jesus as my Savior, is he going to solve all my problems? And I said, man, friend, I said, I can't promise that he will solve all your problems in this life. But he will give you help on how to work through those problems, and he will give you the hope for eternity. We need to make sure that when we share the gospel, that we help people understand what is involved in coming to Jesus. And we don't want to make it more difficult than it is. Salvation is just simply believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Right? But as you do that, understand that he's calling you to follow him in these ways. There's blessing in surrendering to Jesus. You know, it's just like, yes. And we sing the song, burdens are lifted at Calvary, right? You know, he takes my sins. And he gives hope for the future. So, the first occasion of sacrifice to consider is comforts. Look at verse 59. To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Second occasion of sacrifice to consider is security. Are you willing to sacrifice your security to follow Jesus? Jesus invited this individual. In this context, the first individual said, I will follow you. Jesus looks at this other individual and says, follow me. He invites him to do this. This is the same invitation Jesus gave his disciples. He told Peter and Andrew, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. His call to Matthew, who was a tax collector, right? He's sitting in the tax booth with his little, you know, little hat or whatever, you know, it's like, and Jesus says, follow me. And the scripture said, he left everything and followed Jesus. And then we have this individual. Lord, Jesus says, follow me. This guy says, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Now that, you know, you think about that, it seems like a reasonable request, right? I mean, you know, So what's Jesus saying here? In the Hebrew culture, the thought of burying one's loved one didn't necessarily mean that that guy was dead yet. What it meant was, I want to continue to have a relationship with my father. He's not dead yet, but I, in order for him to know my sincerity and my relationship with him, I need to stay involved with him and the family business so that when he does die, I'll gain my inheritance. So it wasn't just the relationship with his dad. It was the financial security of that relationship that we have going here. He thought, the thought is that this person wanted to postpone following Jesus until his circumstances changed. This guy was looking for security in relationships and finances. And the appeal here is, don't look for security in relationships and finances. And then verse 60 here, Jesus' response may sound harsh. Now, I don't think Jesus said this harshly by any means at all. I think he lovingly said, leave the dead to bury their own dead. Leave the dead to bury their own dead. The thought is to let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Why is that? He wasn't saying just ignore the situation and just move on. No, what he's saying is that this. What was the next phrase in the text? The next phrase is to go and proclaim the kingdom of God. The spiritually dead have no interest in proclaiming the kingdom of God. If believers don't do that, then it won't get done. Don't wait till your circumstances change. Don't look for security in relationships. Don't look for security in finances before you commit to following Jesus. You know what? You commit to following Jesus and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. The ministry of the gospel must take priority, because that's what we ought to be about, to go and to proclaim the kingdom of God. This was a test of character. I'd like to look at another passage quickly, Matthew 19. I don't have it there in your notes or in YouVersion, but in Matthew 19, this is, go ahead and turn there. This is the account of the what's commonly called the rich young ruler, Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16, behold, a man came up to him saying, teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus says, if you would enter life, keep the commandments. And then he lists many of the commandments. And the young man said to him, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? And Jesus said to him, if you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. The young man heard this, and he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus knew this, that this man's possessions were his security, and they were the idols of his heart. They were holding him back. That he knew that if this man had to sell everything, that he wouldn't follow him. He wasn't sincere. Jesus said to his disciples, verse 23, truly I say to you, only with difficulty will a rich person ever enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich person to enter the kingdom of God. And when his disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You can't earn your way. You can't work your way into salvation or eternity. It's only by his grace. And then Peter said in reply, see, we have left everything and followed you. You have the example here in the disciples. And proper love for Jesus means that you're willing to leave relationships and security in the most trying of circumstances. Let the dead bury the dead and go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Jesus was asking for a radical commitment. Jesus was teaching in regard your regard to family, friends, and security and ease and comfort should be subordinate to the gospel and its proclamation. Always willing to sacrifice in order to follow Jesus. Are you willing to sacrifice that? And we say, yes, we're willing. And you know what? People do this kind of thing all the time. You put it in context. We have children that go off to college, or as children you go off to college, taking a job somewhere, you know, it's like, it might be across the country or on the other side of the world, all right? That can be tough. The military, our son went into the military, and we're like, whoa, you know? But for the country, yes, he's serving the country. But what about serving God? Are you willing to do that in order to serve God? It may be mean breaking off a relationship that hinders. So you may be involved in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship where they're holding you back from truly living for God. They may even be pressuring you in that relationship. Why do you have to go to church all the time? Why don't you do this to show me your love for me? Or whatever it might be. You know, you might need to say, you know what, I love God. And I'm going to live for Him. So I need to break off this relationship. Maybe friendships. You know, you just have friends that are just pulling you back. I'm not saying don't ever have influence or contact with them for the cause of Christ, but you might have to say, you know what, I'm not going to spend that much time with this individual because they're pulling me back. They're keeping me from living for Christ the way I know I need to live. It's a sacrifice. Be willing to sacrifice a relationship that keeps you from your spiritual potential. So the proclamation of the gospel is so important. It can't be put off. That's the point here. The proclamation of the gospel is so important, it can't be put off. Here's the third occasion to sacrifice. And that is, yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at home. Jesus said to him, no one who has put his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. The third occasion of sacrifice mentioned in the text here is quitting. It's quitting. You got to be willing to sacrifice quitting. You surrender. When you surrender to Jesus, you give up the option to quit. You can't be divided. You can't be lukewarm. In Revelation, it says, if you are lukewarm, I will spit you out. And this goes back to last week's message about being half-hearted. That's not what God wants. But let me first say well to those at home. I want to be able to say goodbye and talk with these other people. Jesus says, you don't get their input on this matter. They may try to talk you out of it. Don't keep one foot in the world and one foot in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It won't work. That's being lukewarm, and He will spit you out. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. When you surrender to Jesus, you realize you are a sinner, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the payment for sin is death. And you say, I don't want that. I'm going to repent of that. And I turn to salvation through Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And I want to live to serve Him. And He says, if you put your hand to the plow, if you turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. There's a saying that says you can't plow a straight furrow by looking over your shoulder. I don't know if we have any farmers here. We did in the early service. And you know, a farmer can't drive the tractor and look over his shoulder and plow a straight line. You know, you start like, okay, here we go. And, you know, you're going to start, you know, going in one direction. The furrow is going to be really messy looking. Of course, the farmer after the service told me, well, now we have GPSs and, you know, they keep us on track. But he said, when I first started farming, he says, if I wanted to plow a straight furrow, I had to keep my eyes looking forward. You can't keep longing for the past and what you are giving up or gave up in order to follow Jesus. The planting and the sowing of the seed is often a timing thing. I've talked with farmers enough to say, you know what? We need to get the crops in now. I've looked at the forecast, it's great now. Everything's just in, as it should be right now. We need to get it in now because we don't know what the weather's going to be like next week or even tomorrow. We've got to do it today. And that's what we need to be doing as we sow the seed, you know. There's an urgency here. You put your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Get it done. And once you accept this responsibility, don't give up. Don't look back. That's what Lot's wife did. Remember Lot's wife? She looked back. That idea there is a longing for the past, a longing for the former way of life. That's what Lot's wife did, and she ended up a pillar of salt. You put your hand to the plow. That's a symbol of undertaking any business. Keep your eyes on your work. Don't look back with regret. You repent. You turn away from that and don't look back. Don't go back. Renounce the hold of earthly objects and follow Jesus. It's been said Christianity is everything or it's nothing. One commentator, Barnes, in his notes says, that is not willing to sacrifice everything for the cause of God is really willing to sacrifice nothing. And so Jesus desires total commitment to him. The question is, are you all in? Jesus desires total commitment to him. We have t-shirts for our those who get baptized here, and it says all in. All in. The idea is Jesus desires that total commitment to him. Are you all in? Now, it's interesting. You look at these three individuals. That Jesus, the first one says, I will follow. And the second one, Jesus says, follow me. And the third one says, I'll follow you, but. It's interesting. We don't know what their response to Jesus' appeal was. It doesn't tell us. It doesn't say, oh, they changed their mind and they decided to follow Jesus after all. Or they ended up following Jesus. We don't know what that is. And I think that's on purpose. And I think it's because Jesus wants you and me to think about our commitments to him. When I joined the wrestling team in high school, our coach, first meeting, you know, man, the room's packed full of guys, you know, and they're, you know, and the coach says, I want you to eat, drink, dream, sleep, wrestling. I want wrestling to be your life. And we're like, yeah, that's what we want, you know, and everybody's all excited about it, you know, because we had purpose. We were going to be a winning team, right? Sadly, after the first week of practice, the team was cut in about half. By the end of the season, it was about a third, if not a quarter, of all the guys that came out. Quite the attrition. Yeah, we're gonna do it. We're gonna win. But we made commitments. Those of us who stuck it out, we made commitments. We were all in. Could coming to Jesus and could he ask anything less of us? Now, the awesome thing about this is we don't do it in our own strength. You know, Jesus told one guy, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Isn't that honest? After one of our services, it's been several years ago, we sang the song, I Surrender All. And one of our men came up to me and said, man, Pastor Dale, I don't know if I can do that. It's what I should do, but I don't know that I can do that. You know, we can't. We can only do it because of the power of Jesus in us to enable us, to strengthen us to do all that he requires us to do. But I do think he just wants us to say, you know what? I surrender, and I'm a vessel in your hands, and whatever that looks like, I'm willing to do. Are you willing to do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we realize that we are nothing and you are everything. And we need you. We need you in this moment, even as we contemplate these truths, as we contemplate surrendering everything to you. It can be kind of intimidating and daunting. But as you call us, I pray that we would surrender our wills to yours, our hearts to you, and that we would be willing vessels in your hands. Help us. As you continue in prayer with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I just encourage you to think about that commitment. Are you willing to make that kind of commitment so as to proclaim the gospel, to shine as lights, to show Christ as indispensable to this community and beyond through your life? Are you willing to do that, to surrender to that? There may be someone you've never trusted Jesus. We've looked at a passage of Scripture that gives a glimpse into what that means. You need to understand what Jesus is asking of you as you follow him. He wants your eyes wide open. But when you do that, there's the help for now and the hope for eternity. As you continue in prayer, I encourage everyone to fill out a connection card. You can get those from the out in the lobby here next to the offering receptacle. You can fill out the physical card. You can do that online through our website, through YouVersion, through our digital bulletin. And just jot down how what I'm asking is that you make a commitment and let us know what that commitment is.